Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 601. It's the 3rd of October, 2016. We're in the final quarter of the year. And on today's podcast, I have Steve Flavel, co-CEO of Loopup Group. That's Loop, is ticker, L-O-O-P. Cover some of the highlights from the interim results, which are very good. And they're only floated, I think, 24th of August this year. And by the way, Loopup are a global software as a service provider of remote meetings. And they break through some of the frustration there. And I've used lots of different software providers for meetings, and they are frustrating. And it's nice to see Loopup are tackling that problem. Also on the podcast, I have Oil and Gas Sector Authority, Malky. Talks about Range Resources, that's RRL. And he says to investors who've lost their faith, hang on a sec, we may have seen a bottom here. It's worth taking a second look at. That's Range Resources. Plus, I also have the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. Huge measure of sentiment. Yeah, you should be checking out this list. I really are. I mean, especially, look at the companies on there today. Strong, powerful movements in their share price. And if you want to see the top five most followed companies from the week, go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. And I have the top five most liked RNSs as released this morning on the site. And I've gone for five today. Normally I do one, but we're getting more and more people using the app, more and more people liking, so it's only fair I cover five companies because they've all got lots of likes. And today's suggested one for your watchlist is Valix. That's V-A-L ticker. It's been suggested by Arthur Sleep. I'm not sure that's a real name, but the research is real. But like I said, with all companies mentioned on the podcast, please do your own research on every company mentioned. We do lots of ideas here. This is not an incentive to buy or telling you to buy anything. It's a stepping stone for you to do your own research. So I'll cover the reasons why Arthur Sleep reckons you should add Valix to your watch list in a few moments.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Steve Flavel, co-CEO of Loopup. That's ticker L-O-O-P, Loop. Steve, thank you for joining me.
Pleasure. Pleased to be here, Justin.
Now, you're pretty much a newly floated company. You've just had your interim results out, which look quite impressive. We'll go through those in a bit. But for people not aware of your company and people new to the podcast, could you give me a summary as to what Loopup is all about, please, Steve?
Of course. We're a premium experience for remote business meetings. We're all about making that experience better for professional users such that they have a less painful and more productive conferencing or remote meeting experience. We get rid of a set of frustrations that have grown up with that activity. Things like problems dialing into calls or not knowing who's on or who's joined, background noise, things like this that have grown up with this market. Loopup's all about removing that pain and making it better.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I've experienced these frustrations on many. I speak to people all day, every day, and I feel a bit of a traitor here using Skype. But I mean, I have this issue, and I've worked with several different companies, and as yet, even the bigger boys can't seem to get this right. And I mean, I've used everything from like Skype to Google Hangouts to other sort of meeting things, and there's always that frustration that someone can't find how to get in, or if they do get in, someone's very noisy, or you can't really hear everyone clearly. And I've just been on your website checking out your video there, worth checking out. I'd say for everyone listening, and you seem to make it very user friendly, very easy. And so what is it? I mean, how are you different? We'll go through the interims in a bit, but how are you different from these other players?
So it's really what you've just said. It's providing a solution to those common frustrations, but critically a solution that everyday professionals will actually use. That's the key. How do you get people to really adopt and use this stuff? And we're all about making the product such that it requires no training. We want the experience to be streamlined. We want it to be intuitive, such that you're almost guided through the experience naturally, rather than feeling like you need training in order to adopt it. It's a risk-averse experience hosting a remote meeting. And you want to feel comfortable that it's just going to work. That's how we're different. We solve these problems in a very natural, flowing way.
Yeah, I've got to say, some of these other platforms I've used, it's almost like they've been created by engineers And then they said, listen, we've got this capability. Here we go. And they put it out there without any focus on the usability. You know, and they, hang on. So they've got the potentials there, but yet it hasn't been finely tuned, you know, for the user. So hopefully, you'll be ironing that out.
Yeah, there's in our industry, there's been a lot of technology for technology's sake without enough consideration of the end user. You know, this is not a new market. It's been around for many, many years. But there's been a lot of technology applied to this market. But where it's fallen down is there hasn't been a lot of technology truly adopted by the mainstream users in this market. And that's where LoopUp's coming at it. Let's make the experience so intuitive and not requiring of training that it genuinely inspires adoption. Yeah. I'll give you an example. With LoopUp meetings, you don't have to dial into them with numbers and codes. LoopUp will actually call out to you on a phone of your choice. And some stats on that, you know, of all the customers that we've signed up so far in 2016, they've joined 72% of their meetings by having LoopUp call them. They have not dialed in with numbers and codes. You know, the things that are different about LoopUp are really being used.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I've experienced being on Google Hangouts, and someone's been calling me. I can't find where they're calling me, and they've sent me a message on Skype telling me they're calling me. I think, what's going on here? This is very. And how do I get in there? I can't get in, and so it is frustrating. So let's go through anyway some of your interim results, and it seems to be going. What do you want to pull out from this, Steve? Because to me, you know, they're looking quite impressive. Your revenue's up 38% on this time last year. Go through some bits with us, please.
For sure. So that's where I'd probably start. You know, the main revenue line item of LoopUp, which is revenue from our product, recurring revenue. And it's up 38% in the first half from the first half of last year. Came in at £6 million for the half. Gross margins have remained very strong. Our gross margin for the period was 75.3%. And that's led to an increase in profitability. Our EBITDA for the period came in at $1.3 million, which was 150% higher than the last period. So, you know, we're very pleased with this first set of results. Looking out to the second half, we're confident of our ability to hit market expectations. There will, of course, be some planned investments in the business following our admission in August. So, you know, that profitability will be moderated in how it moves forward in the second half. But we're confident and encouraged by how that half has started.
Yeah, so I assume, obviously, that the majority of your customers are businesses. And you just said there you had quite a good recurring revenue. Is that the case?
It is, you know. We've been growing. We've grown at 38%, and for the last 3.5 years now. It's been compound growth at 36%, so a good level and very consistent. But importantly, is the efficiency of that growth. You know, at what cost, and that's where, you know, the retention that you're talking about comes in. You know, we keep so many of our customers. Actually, if you look at our established customer base and look at it on a net basis of all growths in that base, but also all losses in that base as well, on a net basis, that established customer base is actually growing rather than eroding, which I think is unusual in any industry, but really unusual in our industry. So it's always a very nice start to the year when you know that your established base is going to net grow.
Well, if you have customers that are coming back, it proves, you know, your business is working. Because, like I said, the main frustration in this platform, on these meetings, you know, software platforms, are that people do get frustrated, and they wouldn't come back if they were experiencing these, you know, ongoing frustrations, I assume.
Absolutely. I think we show the engagement with the product in terms of how our different components of LoopUp are truly adopted and used, but ultimately it's that retention where you get the financial benefit, and that's that's why we exist. We want to be this product that does not exhibit the same characteristics, either in terms of user experience, but also in terms of financial performance and churn that the rest of the market exhibits. We're here to disrupt this market because it's needing disruption after 20 years of users having painful meetings.
Yeah, well, like you said, it's 20 years old and it's still not getting it right, competitors. So how do you market yourself then, Steve?
Well, we have quite an unusual method, actually. We work to this system called Pods that we came up with ourselves. And this is it's a way how we organize. It's like little mini companies of six people who go after our new business acquisition. And they include some business development people, some sales people, and some account management people. And importantly, they're incentivized as a team on recurring revenue growth. And it really leads to very efficient behavior and incentivization. And that's part of the driver of the consistency and efficiency of the growth. We have six of these little pods. Each of them delivers new annual recurring revenue at a rate of £482,000 per annum. And that's just new year one revenue. That then goes on to recur. And our expected customer lifetime, which is the inverse of our loss rate, it's expected to recur for 16 years. So our metrics are showing that we're getting £482,000 of new annual recurring revenue that has a long expected lifetime at a cost of just £440,000. So it's £410,000, I should say. So it's really very efficient underlying unit economics to how we're growing. And I think we consider that as important, if not more important, than the actual growth rate.
Yeah. And obviously, because you're based online, I mean, you can be, I assume, used around the world. But where are your sort of centres? Where are you pushing your service?
Yeah, as a product, it works all over the world in exactly the same way all over the world. It's not geographically dependent at all as a product. As to where we focus our distribution, we're selling to the enterprise market. So these are generally very international enterprises. However, we tend to focus on those international enterprises at the moment that are headquartered in either the UK market or the US market. And actually, our revenue is roughly evenly distributed between those two geographies. Whilst we're a British company, we're not that British company that needs to learn how to go and crack the big US market. We're actually already as established there as we are here in the UK.
Marvellous. Well, Steve, if anyone needs any further convincing as to why they should hit that follow button on the Vox Markets website on your page, could you give us three bullet points, please?
Of course. Well, I think I'll go with number one, that this is a big market. It's a £4.7 billion market, and we've got a proven product in that big market that solves real problems for people. Secondly, I'd point to our historic growth. That growth's been consistent. It's been at a high level of 36%, and it's been delivered really efficiently. And then thirdly, I'd point to what our admission on AIM has given us as a foundation for the next stage. That's strengthened our balance sheet, and it's given funds to invest in continuing that growth into the future.
Steve, thank you very much for talking to me, and hopefully we'll speak again in the not-too-distant future.
Fantastic. Thank you, Justin. Thank you for having me.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Oil and Gas Sector Authority. It's Malky. You all right, Malky?
Yeah, good. Thank you very much, Justin. And you?
Yeah, not too bad. I noticed today, at last, after a while, the 14th onshore round, I don't know if you've seen this, a couple of... it was due for formal sort of stamping and awarding this quarter sometime. And I see there's, Union Jack Oil and Egdon Resources have had that rubber stamp. So I know there's about 93 licenses outstanding waiting for this formal rubber stamping.
Onshore stuff that was done earlier in the year.
Yeah, so they're starting to come out now. Because I didn't really understand the process, because there was a point where they awarded it back in December, actually. It was end of December. And then they've been waiting for this formal award, which is the rubber stamping, basically, for almost a year now. They said Brexit has thrown a bit of a spanner into the works because of the rejigging of the authorities and all that stuff and departments of the government.
Yeah,
but it seems it seems now they're coming out, because I've just seen Egdon and Union Jack all announce that they've been formally awarded. So that's quite interesting.
That's the one you get. The main thing is if you get a change of government, so you get a change of a minister.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they have to review the files all over again. But they're all okay. No worries.
Yeah, cool. All right, so what are we looking at this morning, Marky?
Well, I'm going to mention the oil price, because it closed over $50 on Friday night, which is very important at the end of this time of the year.
Yeah.
You may or may not... I mean, I'm not a great believer that this deal is going to be done, or that the overall situation in the market is good. But what it does is it gives the market confidence... that the Saudis in particular are looking to ensure that the market stays reasonably firm. And it does give you a two-month window, because the meeting they're going back to is the OPEC meeting on November 30th. So I wouldn't have thought that things will come back too much. And so you know, what you've got is $50 Brent. It may encourage, you know, the higher rig count and so on, and more shale, but actually it's good news for most of the E&P stocks that we're looking at. So I'm looking at... a company called Range Resources this morning, and the reason for that is that I know that there are a lot of punters out in the market who might have had a residual holding in this. It's been all over the place in the last 3 or 4 years. It was run by a guy called Peter Landau, Australian. They're Australian based, but they're quoted in London as well. But more importantly, then they've had an attempt at redoing it, and in recent couple of years, the Chinese have come in with a big investment. I was pretty cynical, to be honest myself. I thought it would just be taken private, but it hasn't. Seems to be looking quite good. So Range Resources is based in Trinidad. That's where the acreage is, onshore Trinidad. And we've had a number of announcements over the last 2 or 3 weeks. We've had an upgrade in their CPR, and this morning we've had their annual report. And although the annual report shows that... they continue to be in loss, which you'd expect, and they have had significant write-offs during the year. Most of them actually were done much earlier in the year. Only one or two old Trinidad wells, which are shut in, have been added to that list now. We actually have a situation where it's beginning to look like it's working from a fairly clean palette, and I'll pick out one or two things. First of all, that the production rate, which is, you know, a few hundred barrels a day at the moment, but they've always had a dispute with their shareholders about whether they're being honest about their long-term forecasts. Well, they've reiterated today that they are looking to produce 2,500 barrels a day by the end of 2017, which is a significant increase and very important. And I think the reason for that is that they've decided to calm down on various different sort of exploration and development wells here and there in Trinidad, and they're really concentrating on what they've got, which is the water flood projects. And I think over the next year we will see all their time and money and effort going into those water flood projects, which will significantly increase the value of the business, because 2,500 barrels a day is important for them. They've the CPR last week increased the 2P resources buy up by 11% there, I think that we're going to see with having written off quite a lot of what we might call the historic legacy issues. Management from a long time ago got them into Colombia and Guatemala and Georgia and all sorts of places where I think they've pretty much managed to get everything off. The balance sheet is starting to look quite a lot cleaner. Got $21 million worth of cash. And the management, you know, they said 18 months ago, I would have guessed that they'd have taken this private, but they appear to be working hard. The costs are down. All companies' costs are down this year big time, but theirs are down 66%, which is pretty creditable. You know, all I'm saying is that, you know, for those people who've got a few Range Resources in there, locked away in the back of the cupboard there, they might have been using them to the certificates to wallpaper the bathroom.
Yeah,
but it may not be the case. And
So it's time to dig them out and think, well, hang on, this may be turning here.
I think it's time to have a look. I think that they're talking about taking a few analysts over there in the spring, That normally means that things are better. I'd say is this is an interesting one from the old days, which might be reappearing and might be worth taking another look at, Justin.
Yeah, well, do you know, even on the chart, I mean, it does look like it's, we've hit the bottom there. You know, start of the year, it went on a 0.2, then another sort of higher low, and it's had a series of higher lows now. It's at 0.442 now, so it's gradually going upwards. But it looks, the chart looks encouraging anyway.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, 6 or 8 months ago, you know, people who follow the blog and so on were saying, Malky's never going to look at Range Rover again. You've been once bitten, twice shy, and so on. And I've gently got back into the case. I've met the management 2 or 3 times this year, and have been you know positively inclined by what they're doing. So I'm it's very much on the radar screen, man. Well worth a look at.
Marvellous. Okay, it's Range Resources. That's RRL ticker. Malky, thanks very much. Speak next week.
Look forward to it, Justin. Bye now.
Okay, here are the top 5 most followed companies on the Vox Market website in the last 24 hours. They are at 5. Makanga Resources, MKA. At 4, Talao Energy, TLEO. Yo. At 3, Alba Minerals, that's ALBA. At 2, it's Management Resource Solutions. Mrs. is the ticker there. And at number 1, I wrote a little blog post on the weekend about them. They are EVR Holdings. And I mentioned these guys before. They've been on the podcast. Anthony, I've chatted to Anthony as well at the Mentors events. And it's a virtual reality company that has music content, and as I mentioned on the podcast on the weekend and in the blog that supports it, I think this is a very hot sector. There's lots of people doing headsets, and the price of these will come down. It's content where the gold is, and a lot of people read that blog that probably helped push that number 1 today. But it's definitely one to put in your watch list. As I say, I've done quite well out of the stock already. I'm up by 300%. But I bought more on Friday because I think the potential here is still massive. I mean, there's still only a sort of, 22 million market cap. And if you look at all the big companies, all the massive tech giants are now trying to get a bit of, land grab here in this virtual space. So it's a hot sector. All right, here are the top 5 most liked RNSs on the Vox Markets website this morning, basically, on the site. At 5, it was at Solar Oil, appointment of joint corporate broker. At 4, Stratmin Global Resources. Issue of equity. Now, normally this isn't a good thing, good sign, but this issued equity was done to directors at a premium of 54% of the previous day's closing mid-market price. So that's good. At 3, it's Union Jack Oil, the UK 14th onshore oil and gas licensing final awards have been announced there, and to Egdon, and they're a partner with Egdon there. At 2, Vast Resources, commercial zinc production commences at the Manila, a polymetallic mine in Romania. And number 1, the most liked RNS was Seeing Machines Final Results. That's C. So you can check those out there. Just click the link here at voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. All right, today's suggested one for your watch list is Valix. It's VAL's ticker. It's submitted by Arthur Sleep. What does the company do? Focuses on clinical stage cancer therapeutic development, taking medicines and technology towards commercialization and partnering. How many shares does the company have in issue? 76 million. What's the current price of market cap? Now, when this was submitted last week, there was 6.75 pence, a market cap of 5 million. Now, at the time of broadcast here, they are 11 pence. So, Arthur, if you've been holding that stock, you've been doing quite well. And the market cap is 8.43 million. What does revenue and profit and loss of the company make? For 6 months ended the 30th of June, revenue was 240K and a loss of 2.1 million. How much cash or debt does the company have? A recent fundraise of £1.2 million, along with a loan facility in place for $3.75 million, it says there, but do your own research. There's 3 reasons why people should put this company on their Vox Markets watch list. Number 1, current VAL 2001 clinical trials nearing completion, with early efficacy indications for hormone-resistant prostate cancer. At 2, VAL 401 compound on the cusp of separate phase 2 clinical trial for lung cancer. And reason 3, recent inclusion in 2016 parliamentary review highlighted its cutting-edge technology. Additionally, the company are presenting at an upcoming prestigious ESMO conference. So that's Valix, and that's ticker VAL. Thank you very much, Arthur, for suggesting that. And I'll suggest you add it to your watch list and do some research. That's it for the podcast. Thanks very much. Much appreciated. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.